Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. Today we dig right in with Peter Champeau in the second interview. He's the author of the book titled Gaia Matrix, Arkham and the Geometries of Destiny in the North American Landscape. We dig right in because there's a lot of information here. We look specifically into the ley line structures of New York City. Continuing with the concept of using Earth's natural energies and passive grids, we invite author Peter Champeau back for a second interview to examine the ley lines of New York City. Civilizations of the past have tuned into and used the Earth's natural energies such as ley lines and energy grids. Today we see obelisks, Grecian arcs, and national monuments and institutions adorning particular geographical points in our landscape. Is it arbitrary decoration, or is there a profound body of knowledge that determines the location for these monuments, cathedrals, and other structures? Peter Champeau is the author of the book titled Gaia Matrix, Arkham and the Geometries of Destiny in the North American Landscape. He says, ley lines are the Earth's nervous system. They're waveforms that spiral and undulate similar to our own DNA. If these ley lines are kinked or blocked, they can create a geopathic condition affecting DNA, health, and social peace. His research naturally expands to many interconnected topics, such as landscape geometry, biomes, trees of peace, and much more. He's a stonemason, an environmental artist, a farmer, author, and geomancer. We focus in on the ley line maps of New York City. It's not easy to find this information on this particular topic. Peter has specifically researched and prepared this material special for listeners. Peter, welcome back to Another News.
Thank you, Jeff. Great to be with you again.
Yes, it's good to have you back. And, well, one of the reasons is you don't often hear or see much about this particular type of information, and I suspect that you would be the perfect person to dig up past notes. But before we go into that, Peter, can you tell listeners what a ley line is?
A ley line is an alignment of natural and cultural features that cohere over a great distance. You might consider a ley line a waveform, and the line itself is the mean line of that waveform. Ley lines tend to carry telluric energy, electromagnetic energy, that fuels creativity. Nexus points like New York City need to have a great deal of this electrical energy supplying the electrical current that's within the human body and brain. Now, that is essential for human biology to get that from the planet itself, more so than from stray electromagnetic fields that one might get from Wi-Fi or some electrical grid.
You're pointing out that there is also an element to maybe stimulate creativity here in New York City.
Yes, ley lines carry a telluric current, which is an earth current. An earth current stimulates the biology of our brains to be more creative. A highly creative place like New York City needs to have a number of these ley lines that feed it. There's a couple of nexus points around the city where ley lines converge, and one of them is out in the New York Harbor, kind of framed by Governor's Island, the Statue of Liberty, and Ellis Island, right in that that zone right there. There's a combination of ley lines that converge there.
Well, Peter, I want to go back to defining some other specifics about ley lines. Just reading up on your website, it prompted more questions, and of course, this conversation could go on for hours and hours. But limiting it to the New York area, I thought could be really interesting for listeners. So you've identified a nexus in the New York Harbor area. I noticed that the platform, the base of the Statue of Liberty, had cardinal points on it. That's not too unusual. But do you think there's a connection there?
The Statue of Liberty has multiple geometries implicit to it. There is a 12-pointed star, a square, and I believe a heptagon involved with that. There's a two squares and one 12-pointed star. It's an unusual geometry in that the south east end of the island, you have a octagon that's implicit. And the north end of it, you have a dodecagon that's implicit to it. So the north end of it's 12 and the south end of it is 8. So you have this this kind of like transformational conversation, expanding conversation going on there. The alignment of that particular island as well is of some interest, that it points right up the Hudson River. But, you know, we're not doing the show on specifically the Statue of Liberty. You can, you know, any one of these places, like, for instance, when you find a geometry like that, it has a radiance, and those radiance suggest a direction of force or intention going out from that spot.
That's interesting.
So you can take these points that are in the base of this Statue of Liberty, and you can see how it's connected to the greater world around it, the place. So this is kind of what I do with my geographic studies. I look at an individual and see where they are contextually in space, and you know, like their relationship from their home to their work to where they were born, and this type of thing gets it appears as though we all have this within us, that we relate to the world geometrically, we relate to the world with pattern. The ley lines similarly are relating to the world with pattern. In New York City, when I say the ley lines in New York City, I'm not specifically speaking of the ley lines that are like the energy lays that are like pretty much everywhere within the fabric of the earth itself. What I'm speaking of is the really large structural planetary forms and conversations that New York has as a nexus point, contextually with other cities on the eastern seaboard, with the rivers that it's confluence at. That's the conversation that I've mapped out today to have.
Gotcha. Okay, so in some of the mapping, did you notice maybe in Brooklyn or Queens or other areas where Manhattan, where ley lines maybe crossed over each other, or the significance of particular architecture, churches, cathedrals, or institutions that are on the ley lines?
Well, there appears to be some conscious effort on the part of Homestead to design Central Park with this type of context in mind. The one straight line in Central Park is the mall, which leads right to the Fountain of Bethesda. That's how I know it. But if you take that alignment and look how it extends across the city, it goes through St. Patrick's Cathedral to the south, and if you follow it to the north, it goes to St. John Divine. And then in between, there's a series of three or four churches that are all churches, synagogues, temples, all in a line on that same axis. You asked me to speak about the ley lines in New York City. I got a lot more detailed information to see exactly where these lines do impact the city. I noticed from afar that all these various patterns of the land were pointing in that direction. The one of greatest interest is the north-south line that comes into New York City and terminates down at the South Station. Really, if it goes right through the new Amsterdam Pavilion that was just installed on September 9th in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
It has a date on it of 9999. So, and this form itself is a counterclockwise spinning pinwheel. It looks like a pinwheel from above. But whenever I see a four-sided, four-armed spin field spinning in a counterclockwise manner, it speaks to me of a swastika. So there's this new insert, this new consciousness seed that was placed at the end of the island that is rooting a telluric line that goes to the headwaters of the Hudson River. So any river has a relationship. Its waters run from its headwaters to its outlet. And the end of the Hudson River is, it can make a good case that the Staten Island Ferry is where the Hudson River ends, because that's where the East River comes in and it combines and then turns into the harbor. So taking this line northward towards Tear Lake is actually the headwaters of the Hudson River. Tear Lake is on the upper reaches of Mount Marcy, the tallest mountain of the Adirondacks in New York State. See, if you continue on past Mount Marcy, it goes up to where the Ottawa and St. Lawrence rivers come together up by Montreal. So there's this frequency being spoken of, the natural features of this particular ley line, this telluric ley, because it's north-south, it works with the electromagnetic flow of the planet. It has to do with confluence of rivers as one of the natural features. Another natural feature is a high mountain. Following along that, we have the high mountains of Storm King, up to the Storm King Art Center. There's also the Storm King Mountain. That's also on that same line. The cultural features along this line include GE Energy Park, which is in Scotia, New York. This is also on this north-south alignment.
Mm-hmm.
That GE Energy Park is where they make turbines, and turbines have those propellers for jets and whatnot. And just north of that, as part of the GE Energy Park, they have a nuclear installation where they make the engines for the nuclear submarines and battle cruisers and aircraft carriers. Those two places also have that spin conversation happening, vortex conversation happening, just like the confluence of rivers is a vortex. Here we have these energy systems generating a vortex. They're both propeller, making propeller-driven things. Navy ships, for instance.
This is fascinating work, Peter. I will keep going. I wanted to ask you about conspiracy of grace here or intentional.
I tend to think that it might be intentional, because it's along this line, this trajectory, we had the 9/11 planes fly. There's one stretch along the river between Hyde Park and Wappinger Falls that's an absolutely straight line that aims right at New York City, and that would be a good sighting line for any untrained pilot to, get right to New York City. So, they would have identified that straight track of the river and followed that due south. All they have to do is put a compass bearing on due south and go right for it. Every river also has accompanying ley lines. Because of its waveform, it generates a ley line frequency that's connected with it. And quite often you have a ley line on both sides of the river. In the case of this particular ley line, the other side of the river that we have an alignment on, it starts up in Crowley's Island. I don't know if you've ever heard of Aleister Crowley. He was a character running around in the turn of the century that was into Satan worship and kinds of crazy stuff. And,
of course. He's mentioned in many songs, too.
Sure. So, Crazy Alistair, he inhabited an island there in the middle of the Hudson River called Epos Island, and probably did some ritual out there. But running south of there, you have FDR's home. And you remember that FDR, he was the one who started the use of In God We Trust and putting the pyramid on the dollar bills and this type of thing.
And right. And he was visited by Nicholas Roerich, who influenced him also to do that. His museum is on the Upper West Side.
This might just be a conspiracy of grace. It might be just like building on things. But Alex Gray, the New York City artist, He's recently moved to Wappinger Falls and set up a center up there. He's the guy that does the real psychedelic paintings of energy fields of the human body.
Right.
This parallel line to this north-south line goes right down and roots at Cleopatra's Needle on the backside of the Met. So when you have Aleister Crowley at one end of things and Cleopatra's Needle at the other, Crowley was all about the Egyptian magic and pseudo-magic. Where the Masons determined to put these obelisks that they got, these objects of power, there's a great deal of thought that went into that. So I think that this particular line is something that was worked with, acknowledged, and West Point is also on the same line. It goes right through the academy. This is the main power line of New York City. Now that north-south line that initially started speaking of going up through the Adirondacks, that's like really fueling the electromagnetic field of New York City, because the Adirondacks are rising 3 centimeters a year. They're rebounding from the glacier, and they're part of the Canadian Shield. It's the only part of the Canadian Shield that's in the continental United States. You have this amazing skull cap of the planet that's just oscillating up there and sending its telluric current down every day. Tellurics move south during the day and north at night. That's why we get the northern lights at night, because the telluric currents are moving back and releasing up through the pole. So you have this tremendous energy, the spin, spin conversation of both the turbines of GE and the nuclear plant, which kind of amps up that energy. But it also, when you destroy an atom, it generates a discordant energy as well. It's like you're destroying the most fundamental part of life. So that puts like this kind of weird discordant frequency into an otherwise very pure line, a line of water. Water is kind of, it's all about water. And, you have these rivers that just, bring life and fish and transportation and all these things. But when you get it, when you bring that line down into the city, this is where it gets kind of scary, because right at the head of Battery Park City,
mm-hmm.
there's like a jog up there at the north end of it, and then like a ship harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Goldman Sachs is just south of there. Right there is an intersection of a ley line. We'll go into what that ley line is in a minute, but right there is one of the intersections. But as this telluric current runs north, or runs north, heading south from Mount Marcy, it goes right through the new tower that's been going up in the World Trade Center and bisects both the fountains, the memorial parks there of the old footprint of the trade towers.
Of course.
Of course, so this comes right down through the island, right through Bowling Green, and then hits on the Staten Island Ferry. If you were to extend that line further, it goes out to Sandy Hook, right at the head of the harbor. So again, it has that confluence conversation happening with that.
What did you mean by scary, by the way?
Well, just the fact that we have this this 9/11 event right at this point, it kind of, whenever I see these kinds of events happening, like exactly on these ley lines, it just like you have this like a nuclear event happening north on the ley line that puts in a discordant frequency. This also puts in a discordant frequency into the mind, body, heart, soul of the entire city, because this is one of the main feeds for the psychic energy of the city. So if you can imprint a consciousness field on these lays, like you know, FDR did, like Aleister Crowley did, like the Masons did with the placement of Cleopatra's Needle, you can kind of guide consciousness. You know, what we had, you know, initially was this, you know, the two towers. It symbolizes the you know, it was like the Masonic thing of the two pillars. Now it's just the opposite. It's, these things are going into the ground. They're like waterfalls going into the ground. And there's something about granite that, you know, which is underlying these buildings. That's why you get these skyscrapers are able to be so close to the river, is because they have a granite foundation. When you strike granite with a hammer, it increases the electrical field of the granite, the paleoelectric current within the rock itself. So me working as a stonemason, I got very attenuated to that. You know, every time you strike a rock, it would ring, and that energy I got to be able to feel it. Unless you do it every day. I think any stonemason would attest to that feeling. You can really, there's like an energy that gets increased in the stone itself. So when those towers went down, it slammed the granite. It shook, put a discordant frequency into that line.
And how long does that stay in the line to influence consciousness?
I'm of the mind that it stays there until there's a new consciousness that's introduced.
That's powerful. And now I'm starting to understand what you've just laid out before us.
One little final piece that I'd like to share.
Sure.
Yeah, on this particular line, where it goes through is right very, very close, just on the east side of Lower Broadway. Where the Golden Calf is, you know, the bull, the bronze bull of Wall Street.
Of course, yes.
So that's also on this line. So these sense of place markers speak to what this line is all about, going down through the financial district, and then zeroing out on a swastika swirling vortextual New Amsterdam monument, which. It's a monument to, I can't remember the fellow's first name, but it's the founder of New Amsterdam. I think his name was Minuut, which means midnight. So every night at midnight, they light up this place as like some kind of light display. Very much an intentional installation here at the Staten Island Ferry.
Great. That's important to establish, because in our last interview, you were talking about, I guess, the beauty in the conspiracy of grace, and I can understand that as well, but a lot of listeners also know that there is the intentionality of placements and understanding of these lines and maybe generating a consciousness, and you really, you nailed it, Peter. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. The line actually comes down the plane of the lower west side of the island. You know how the island kind of like takes a turn there in the river, kind of where the line enters the city.
Did you get a chance to look at the Ward Pound Ridge in Westchester?
Yes, I did. Yeah, we can go there now.
Sure. It's near New York, of course, but Geocus and Ghost Horse, the host of First Voices, he and I were talking about this area, and he pointed out that he suspects there's a, you know, a ley line cross right around that area. What were you able to find out?
Ward Pound area of Westchester, really Westchester County, as you know, it's full of rich people, and or you know, whatever, poor people too, but it's full of folks that commute into New York City and work in the financial district. There's three ley lines that run through Westchester County. And the one that's closest to the Ward Pound site is what I refer to as the Broadway Ley. If you're down in Lower Broadway, you know, looking up through Times Square, that's where that line is matching its trajectory. Now, you know how Broadway kind of like meanders through the city? Well, that Broadway is matching the energy lay of this linear form. So at certain points in the Broadway pathway, it matches this particular linear line, this linear form, but in others it meanders off to the side. And the Ward Pound area is a meander of this particular line. It's like it's part of the waveform that which this line is the center of. Oh, I call this the Broadway Lay. It points right to the center of the North American tectonic plate, which is what my book IA Matrix was expounding about, and that's up in Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, Coleraine in Massachusetts, and it goes up to this mountain called Mount Muslaki, and that is the center of the White Mountain orogeny, the mountain building form, another granite structure that includes Mount Washington and a lot of plutons, granite plutons in Vermont and New Hampshire. And it's circular in form, and right at the center of it is Mount Muslaki. Just north of Muslaki is this place called Bethlehem, New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bethlehem, New Hampshire is a very known site for vacationing Hasids from New York City to go. It's like going back to Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah. And what's the true meaning of that word? City of Peace or the new...
City of Peace, yes, the Jerusalem, yes. But this is Bethlehem in particular. And I bring this up because there's, this is not, in any way getting racist. It's just that in looking at this pattern, in this line, I found that there's quite a bit of Jewish activity, Hasid activity, communities where a lot of Jewish people tend to vacation together. Down through Westchester County, there's quite a bit of stuff going on there as well. And if you extend this line out, it goes down through Jersey, right across Cape May, down through the Delmarva Peninsula. This is one of the real big ones. So, and down through Norfolk, Virginia, or Newport News, through all the estuaries of North Carolina, right through Cape Fear. From there, it goes off into the ocean, but then it makes landfall down at Cape Canaveral.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Through Lake Okeechobee, and then I believe it ends in Havana, because it doesn't really seem to go, it doesn't hook up with any sites beyond there. And Havana being the site of it's like the edge form of the Caribbean plate. One end of it, you have a tectonic, structural, energetic form of the Caribbean plate. At the other end, you have the White Mountain orogeny, which was the original, just a little anecdote here, the White Mountains were the original volcano that erupted, that started pushing the Pangaea supercontinent apart. There is this initializing new rock emerging from the soil. So anything like west of the Connecticut River Valley is all the old North American Laurentian plate.
Mm-hmm.
And then the new North American plate starts at on the east side of the Connecticut River. And this is the kind of bubble that came up. And now where this bubble is occurring is out in the Mid-Atlantic Rift. So between here and there's all this rock that's 250 million years old or less. From there westward, it's all in the 3 billion year old category. So it's this is, the expanding Earth theory, which I'm kind of a proponent of, but we don't need to go into that today.
Sure,
but,
sure.
This is another one of the telluric currents that's feeding New York City. Granite, New York City, it's kind of like energy nodes, if you will. In Stonehenge, we have, one standing stone to the next standing stone to the next standing stone. Well, in New England, we have one pluton to the next pluton to the next pluton to the New York City. It has these repeaters, if you will. The granite domes are, like there's a one massive granite dome underneath Shelburne Falls where this particular Broadway lay goes right through. So, and then with the Broadway, the street Broadway, it tends to disperse this energy all throughout the city because it traverses it. It's the one thing that breaks up the numbing grid of New York City.
Mm. Oh, right. It's not on the grid necessarily.
Right. It's the one waveform in the city. That's how it's kind of like the Broadway is the breath and life of the city. How these telluric currents enter and leave, and move through the city.
Peter, we're at the half hour mark. We're going to open up the lines and take calls. You ready to take calls?
Sure.
Well, fantastic. Our guest, Peter Champeau, author of the book titled Diamatrix, Arcom, and the Geometries of Destiny in the North American Landscape. If you have a comment or a question for Peter Champeau, call us at 212-209-2900. And you're listening to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Our guest, Peter Champeau, whose website, by the way, is geometryofplace.com, all one word. And his book, again, is called Gaia Matrix, Arcom and the Geometries of Destiny in the North American Landscape. So I think we have some calls ready, and we're going to go to the... Oh, we lost Ed. We had Ed up front. Well, call back, Ed. We'll get you back on. And we'll go to the first call. Hi, you're on the air with Peter Champeau.
Yes, hello. I just had a question. I was wondering if the way that the Broadway is the old cow path, animal path, and an old general's trail that runs from the bottom of Manhattan all the way up through Canada, which is road number one, that goes all the way up to Canada. What if that has any relation to anything? And I'll just hang up and listen on the air.
Okay.
Thank you very, very much for your work.
Cow paths were initially the Native American paths, if you will. Quite often, these pathways are the pathways of least resistance. So that there is a, you know, like the First Nations lay, for instance, that comes out of Boston and goes westward from there up through the Mohawk River Valley. That was initially a Native American pathway that then turned into Route 2 that you can follow right out to Syracuse. So the Broadway, I'm not quite sure about where the Route 1 goes, if that's the coastal Route 1 or the New York Route 1, but the Broadway was the initial pathway through town. Quite likely it was the Native American route through town that was then expanded upon and continued to be used, and then as the city expanded, Broadway remained as the remnant of this early pathway.
Great. We're going to go to another call. Hi, you're on the air with Peter Champeau.
How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, Ed.
What's up? How you doing, Mr. Champeau?
Hi, Ed. Good to hear from you.
I just had three questions because, you know, I'm a little confused from the last interview. I haven't gotten your book yet, but I did look at your website. Number one, how do you exactly find these ley lines? I mean, since it's electrical energy, can you measure it? Can you use an oscilloscope or some type of meter to actually identify and locate these ley lines, number one? Number two, I remember from the last interview when I asked you, you said that it wouldn't be a good idea to live on these ley lines because of the type of energy and the nature that the energy possessed. It might do damage to the physical form. But now you're saying that these ley lines are bisecting in places largely populated. I mean, there's 8 million people in New York City. Number three, would the use of all of these cell phones and other wireless devices, Wi-Fi hotspots, and the increase in the past 50 years interact with these ley lines in a detrimental or positive way? Those are basically the three questions I have.
Good questions, Ed. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Peter?
Oh, yes. I guess going backwards, the cell phone interference is quite an issue. It's blocking the human brain waves from having access to the natural tellurics. How I determine these passages is it's out of the practice of feng shui. Now, the term feng shui means the wind and water. With those two qualities, you can only tell two elements. The only way you can tell their passage is by the effect of their movement. So the wind blows, the leaves move. Otherwise, it's invisible. The clouds move. Otherwise, it's invisible. It's the same thing with ley lines. You can tell their passage by the effect on the landscape and by the effect on the people. There tends to be this coherence of activity, similar activities along a certain ley line. I've found that there are, you know, different ley lines of scale are you interrelate with, and there are parameters like relationships between the headwaters and the deltas of rivers that tend to generate ley lines. In this case, it was the passage of the river, passage of the Hudson River, that determined the north-south alignment of that one ley coming into the city. As far as living on these leys, they can be quite stressful because you're dealing with not just your own stuff, but more of a collective energy. It's not that it's going to necessarily give you cancer, for instance, or some other kind of extreme physical reaction. You tend to be immersed in a field that isn't entirely yours, so you can get thoughts that aren't entirely yours to be working with.
Thoughts, feelings, or whatever hits the nervous system. I hope that answers the question, Ed. We're going to go to another call. Hi, you're on the air with Peter Champeau.
Hey, good evening, guys. When Peter earlier was talking about this energy that moves back and forth at night that causes the northern lights up in Canada, I was wondering, If Nikola Tesla was using any of this information that he might have picked up on when he talked about years ago about transporting energy without electric wires, and that's when Rockefeller pulled the money for his patents and everything, and they burned his warehouse and his offices where he was experimenting with this ways to move energy without copper wires.
Yeah, yes, it's the same energy. It's the Earth's current. The Earth's it's the charge between the ionosphere and the lithosphere. Tesla specifically tapped into, and that polarity has a current. And Tesla was offering us free energy, and there's not a lot of money to be made off of that. I recently saw the movie Thrive, a piece put together by Gamble. Procter & Gamble.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent movie. Talks about the reasons behind that.
So the caller is hinting at the telluric energy that you pointed out, Peter, that moves south during the day and charges up the ley lines and moves north at night. So that movement Tesla was also very familiar with. Caller, thank you very much for that call.
Hey, guys, thank you very much. And Peter, we sure enjoyed this wonderful information.
Excellent. Remember, Peter's website.
Right.
If you want to check out his website, it's geometryofplace.com. And you're on the air, sir. Go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Excellent show. Hi, Peter. Hi, Jeff.
Hey.
I'm calling from Flushing. My name's Alan, and I just did something that I meant to do a long time ago, but you inspired me, Peter. I connected the Flushing Meadows. The way the Flushing Meadows Corona Park, the World's Fair site, was set up, if you draw a line from the Planet of the Fountains area through the Unisphere, it will hit right into the center of the Statue of Liberty. I just did it, and it's absolutely true. It's perfectly aligned to the Statue of Liberty. Any thoughts on that?
I feel that I'm not the first one to notice these patterns. when you're building, I mean, Washington, D.C., for instance, you know, when you're building culture, trying to seed a certain consciousness into the landscape, you pattern it so that it's interconnective and mutually supportive. There's another piece of evidence that points to that. Was that matching one of the actual points at the base of the Statue of Liberty? Or
I can't get that fine of a detail for that. I'd like to know. I mean, I'm going to try to do that in the future, maybe by using angle. I'm not good at this type of stuff, but I thought it was
Google,
very interesting.
Google Earth is a real good tool to use in that regard.
Because what I did is I just, you know, like connected the dots. I made a couple dots to create a straight line, and it goes bisects the Statue of Liberty. And you inspired me to do that tonight. So I thought that was interesting. Jeff, if you check your email, you could actually see what I'm talking about.
Okay, I definitely will. Thank you, Alan, from Flushing. Really appreciate that. The email, by the way, is inothernewsradio@yahoo.com. And, of course, if you want to contact Peter Champeau, our guest, you can reach him at his website, geometryofplace.com. And we got another call on the line. Hi, you're on the air.
Is this me?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Hello, Jeff. Hi, Mr. Champeau. I'm enjoying the show. It's very, very interesting. And, excuse me, I'm from Essex County, New Jersey, which the north side of it is only, it's just across from Hudson County, only a few miles from Manhattan. But we have a beautiful park here, Branch Brook Park, which was an Olmsted park. And I heard Mr. Champeau say that Olmsted was aware of all these ley lines and the telluric energy. And I've always felt that Branch Brook Park was a very lovely, wonderful place, with, designed with more than met the eye in mind. So I'm inspired to start, as your previous caller said, connecting the dots and seeing what's happening.
I'm curious. It makes me curious about where Olmsted's parks are. Quite often, a man's work, if you take it in a collective perspective, in total, there tends to appear to be a geometry that's implicit to that. That's Geometry of Place is the name of my website, and that's
sure.
I'm thinking of one of Olmsted's installations was up at K-Kate, the Rockefeller Estate. And we have the Central Park in,
Boston, Franklin Park, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, right. You know, so all those places are, from my, you know, just recollection, that they are right on ley lines. And I'm not quite certain about where this particular park you're speaking of is, but I would suspect that it's on one of the leys that intersects the New York City metro area there.
Well, I'm going to check out the geometry of place, so to speak. But I do recommend Branch Brook Park because they have the most lovely cherry blossoms probably anywhere. They're going to be in bloom soon. So thank you for your work.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome.
Thanks for that wonderful call. If you have a comment or question for Peter Champeau, our guest, call us at 212-209-2900. Peter, you said this word plutons. I have no idea what that is.
That's a volcano that never quite made it to the surface. So the granite plutons, like the Rock of Ages quarry, where a lot of granite tombstones come out of now, that's a pluton. It's a it's like a bubble of lava that cools before it reaches the surface.
I gotcha. What about how do you spell that word? Keket.
K-Kate?
Yeah.
Let's see. K-Y-K-U-I-T. It's the name of the Rockefeller Estate up.
Now, we talked about that, and you mentioned that there's a ley line moving westward. It's in the Taconic Ley that matches the western border of Massachusetts. And and you said it was keyed into the Bennington Monument and runs straight down the Taconic line, and that's the home of the Rockefellers. But that goes right to the Rockefeller Center.
So the actual lay that K-Kate's on and the Rockefeller Center actually goes through Berkshire County and right up through Tanglewood and Rockwell Art Museum, and hit 13 different schools, private and public, going through Berkshire County in Massachusetts. K keys off the two major mountains in Berkshire County, Mount Washington and Mount Greylock. And that particular lay, in its extended form, goes to Quebec City. That's the axial frequency connecting those two great cities. Then the one coming down the Massachusetts, the plain of the western border of Massachusetts down the Taconic Line, that one comes down and intersects with another ley line right at Columbus Circle, southwest corner of Central Park.
Very interesting. And you mentioned that one of those lines, you carry it upward, northward. It goes up to Owl's Head Mountain at Lake Memphremagog?
Yes, that's the one that goes up to Lake Memphremagog and Owl's Head, where it's a Masonic holy site. So it appears as though the Masonic pattern makers and surveyors were very keen on channeling these telluric energies to feed New York City, to have relationships with their sacred sites. And they, you know, increased the focus and interconnectivity between the ionosphere and the Earth's crust, the lithosphere, by placing things like the Bennington Monument, where it's placed right at the end of that line of the western boundary of Massachusetts that aligns with Columbus Circle. So
you pointed out that every year at June 21st, they have a ritual baptizing of folks. Maybe, is that charging the ley line? I wonder about that. The other thing is, I looked it up, and this lodge was, I guess, opened up in 1857. It's a great ravine at an elevation of 2,480 feet above the lake, situated due east and west, surrounded by massive rocks that afforded perfect seclusion. The rocks offered suitable watchtowers from which the sentinels can readily observe the approach of any eavesdroppers. As many as 250 masons make the difficult ascent to the top, confer a third degree, and then descend 2 hours later to join their ladies for a picnic dinner. pointed out that these lines can guide consciousness. What's the connection here?
Well, I believe that the lodges, the Masonic lodges, have altruistic intentions. They're doing this to support their communities, to support the energy and prosperity of their communities. They possess the knowledge of the Templars, and the Templars, they were taught by the Moors, and they developed this whole system in Europe where all the Gothic cathedrals were all placed on ancient Druidic sites, and they were designed in a very specific geometry to increase the flow of this energy. Putting tall spires on it would bring those tellurics, connect the ionosphere and lithosphere, and then on top of that, you would have a ritual celebration once a day. And in concordance, all these churches would all ring their bells together and all, have this ritual sacrifice together. And with that, it imbued this Christ consciousness into the fabric of the European body of land. And similarly, when the Americas were established, the church wasn't really involved to put their seed forms on these sacred sites. The Masons were.
Mm-hmm.
So you tend to find their lodges, their sacred sites, their installations, like at Bennington, are all doing the same thing as the Catholic Church did in Europe. But they're doing it for the purpose of finance and business and banking and their sacred cows.
Right, and that's a question. Where's the altruism there? You made me also think about the astral traveling. If there's a metaphysical element here with consciousness, and when people go to sleep and start to dream and lucid dream and maybe astral travel. I wonder, would they use these ley lines, do you think? I know that's a tough question.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? I know, you have to answer that.
You know, we have this thing called the glial body. Our brain has all this cottage cheese in it. You know, like they say we only use 10% of our brain. Well, the other 90% is made up of these glial cells. And when we go to sleep, the glial body turns on, the glial cells turn on. And that's when we start to have these lucid dreaming happening. And a yogi, by reducing his breath flow, also turns on that glial brain. And with that, you're able to, it's more of a frequency place. You're able to tap into the frequencies of all it is out there. So you could be tapping into the memories of a ley line, especially if you're sleeping on one. When you sleep, the 90% of your brain turns on and starts doing all the automatic functions and gives us these images that we've never experienced or seen before.
Hmm. I didn't expect that explanation, but I really appreciate that. And I wondered, if there are these established highways in the dreamscape, maybe, that an astral traveler could use if they're dreaming. Who knows? You're right.
There are adepts in astral travel, and I'm not one of them, so I can't really speak to it. And DNA is also the same thing. We have, we only use 10% of our DNA. The rest of it's junk. There's only 10% of the universe that we can identify, but there's a gravity field for 90% more. So there's this 10% of the population that actually makes any money, and everybody else is starving, So, I don't know, maybe if we turn on to our consciousness more, if we turn on more of this, have more of this dark matter activated, perhaps we would grow out of this it's all mind consciousness, and get into more of a connective, free-floating altruism.
Indeed, yes. And you mentioned that the line coming down at a Rockefeller Center that extends down to Atlantic City has the frequency of money connected with John D. Rockefeller. I thought that was interesting as well. It connects to what you're saying here.
Right. That's what I'm finding over and over again, that there are qualities of place that are native to certain ley lines or to a specific ley line. And they tend to attract that same frequency to it. Over in Europe, you have that Acadian ley that goes through along the East Coast, New York City, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, up, and it goes up over the pond. It goes through Dublin and London and down through Battle of the Bulge and Waterloo and Kosovo. Over there, it's a proverbial line in the sand where there's wars happening all the time. Brussels is right on that same line. So there's a tendency to go towards an expression of war, the Franco-German conflict that's been going on for centuries.
Yes. And you mentioned that in the past interview. I think we have time for one more call. And go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm Tom from the Bronx here. Did you hear that it was supposed to be a solar storm Sunday? A bad solar storm?
Yes.
And they predicted that there could be some damage from it? I heard it on another station.
Yeah. Yee-haw. Here comes a lot of the megalithic structures in England and various places around the world are tuned to that particular storm cycle. Every 11 point something years, 0.5 years, we get these solar storms. Solar flares occur. It's a regular cycle. What I'm gathering from the placement of these ley lines in Europe and the design of these stone circles is that they're very keen to tap into that cycle, because I feel that there's this extra energy, extra potential for using these high energies for spiritual work for one and crop growth for another.
Peter, thank you very much for being on Other News, in Other News one more time, and doing all this work for the listeners and identifying the ley line maps in New York City. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Okay, we'll be back next week, 10 p.m. And remember, check out Peter's website at geometryofplace.com.
And you're tuned to listener-sponsored, non-commercial WBAI in New York. Stay tuned.